We're 9 minutes late. News with Nick. That was a 10-minute intro. I mean, 10-second intro. News with Nick, episode October. Wow, I'm out of my mind already. Okay, November 14th, 2015, 6 a.m. in the Eastern, and we've had to do an emergency show here. Something amazing has happened to Paris Hilton. I can't believe it. I'm just kidding. She's all over, like, her name is all over the news today for some reason. Just like, Paris attacked. ISIS explodes all over Paris. I'm like, I don't know. I guess something happened to Paris Hilton. Okay. All right, let's see here. On the evening of 13 November 2015, a series of mass shootings and suicide bombings occurred in Paris, France, beginning at 2116 CET, which is Central European time. And 2116 would be what? Who knows? 916? Three separate explosions and six mass shootings occurred, including bombings, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Seven individual attacks took place, comprising six shootings and three explosions. That's nine. Seven individual attacks took place, comprising six shootings and three explosions. The explosions occurred near the Stade de France, which is, let's find out, is a soccer stadium, apparently. Or they would call it a football stadium. The explosions occurred near the Stade de France, while shootings were reported around Rue Albert, which is a street. Okay. Oh, man, this is bad. I should have not done this story. It's real hard to it's real hard to pronounce anything. Okay, let's see. The initial attacks occurred on the Rue Bichat and Rue Albert. We'll just say that those are probably streets. Near the Canal St. Martin in the Tens. Blah, blah, blah. Attackers shot at people outside a cafe bar at approximately 9:20 Central European time. They then crossed the street and attacked Le Petit Cambrage, a restaurant, leaving between 4 and 11 dead. So we don't even know yet. This has happened last night, and all the information is still coming in. Let's see what the chat's saying. I think for every minute you're late, you should do one push-up. Well, luckily, I can do all the push-ups. Oh, by the way, so someone on the Facebook last night was, are you doing a new show because of Paris? And then someone else was like, man, I hope not. I'm tired of hearing about that already. Well, guess what? Don't listen to the news if you don't want to hear about what's in the news, right? Okay. I don't like this. I don't like this. So apparently we have seven different locations. It looks like there were a couple restaurants. And three explosions occurred near the stadium, resulting in at least five deaths and at least 10 people were injured or killed in an explosion at a bar near the stadium. About 20 minutes after the kickoff of the initial of the international friendly football match. Huh? Friendly football. The president was there. He was safely evacuated from the scene. All right, let's see if we can get any more information on this. Nope, that's gonna be something completely different. All right. At least 112 people were killed at the concert hall. So this seems to be the central location of what happened here. According to the French Interior Ministry, though the Paris prosecutor said the number was around 80. So we don't even know. There's still people bleeding in the streets, like this moment. Even though that's why I tried to wait for several hours to do a show so we could figure out what's going on. Police stormed the theater in a rescue operation. Four attackers were killed, three of whom were wearing explosive belts. Oh, my goodness. There was a U.S. band there called Eagles of Death Metal. And a witness told Radio France the attackers entered firing pump rifles and shouting, Allah Akbar. What does that even mean? Let's look that up.
What does Allah Akbar mean?
Allah Akbar is an Islamic phrase meaning God is greater or God is the greatest. Oh, okay. God is the greatest. Okay, four people were killed outside the sports stadium. We found that. And at least 14 people were killed at other restaurants and cafes. So apparently they just did this thing. So there's enough shooters. I'm here. There were at least eight shooters, right? Were able to just go to different restaurants. They're like, okay, shoot that one. Okay, run across the street, shoot the other one. Okay, run across the street, shoot the other one. And there is now a state of emergency in Paris, in France rather, and French authorities say they have tightened border controls to prevent potential attackers from entering and to capture anyone involved in the attacks. So, this is very scary, folks. Let's check out what Fox News has to say on the latest. ISIS was behind this, okay? Eight ISIS terrorists wielding... Okay, so at least we know how many we think there were. We think there were eight. Eight ISIS terrorists wielding AK-47s and wearing suicide belts carried out coordinated attacks at six sites around Paris. Okay, now this site's saying six. Wikipedia's saying seven. CNN's saying seven. So I don't even know. Oh, no! I just closed that tab by accident. You hate it when you have so many tabs open that the section between where you can click it to activate it and click it to close it is just 2 inches wide. Speaking after an emergency... Here, I have to mute this. Sorry. Speaking after an emergency security meeting to plan his government's response, François Hollande... Hollandaise sauce... declared 3 days of national mourning and raised France's security to its highest level. What does that even mean, I wonder?
Condemning the attacks as terrorism, pledging that France will stand firm against its foes and respond, quote-unquote, mercilessly. President Obama offering his condolences and the unwavering support of the United States.
I want to get this in. So right before we broke for the top of the hour, Greg, we saw President Hollande was speaking to French media, right, and we were waiting for a translation. It is here. So I'm just going to go down the list of things he said. Francis Hollande says Paris attacks.
Hollande is how you pronounce that? That's definitely Hollande. H-O-L-L-A-N-D-E. Is Hollande, not Hollande. What is this president not know his own name?
We're committed by the Islamic State. Hollande says the attacks were an act of war. He was the person who confirmed first the 127 dead in the attacks. That is a new number for us. And again, as Greg has been mentioning in our coverage, and astutely so, that number will move. There are at least 99 people, we're told, in critical condition. And also, as France's President Hollande was speaking, he said that we can expect to see an address to Parliament in an extraordinary meeting on Monday. Mm. So, Greg, you just said that he had promised that the type of response would be very strong. Perhaps we'll learn of it in detail in that, quote-unquote, extraordinary meeting on Monday. But President Hollande saying that this is the Islamic State. I know we've got our expert panel standing by. My first question has to be, how do they know that?
Yeah. Well, Paris is obviously in a state of shock following the events that occurred. So many people are wondering, who did this? Why did they do this? Gunmen using automatic weapons, shotguns, explosive belts, targeting the sports stadium, a nightclub, a rock concert, several other locations. The death toll has come down from initial reports. It is now, and this is according to the French president, 127 victims killed in the attack, but hundreds were wounded, some of them now being treated at nearby hospitals and in critical condition. Police believe the attackers were all killed. But the headline, if there is one over the last 5 minutes, is that France's president, François Hollande, has gone on national television and said that they now know this is the work of ISIS.
I bet you what happened. Okay, we're going to have to get a website going right now. Register HollandayTruth.com or something. No, register. What do we need? November13thTruth.com. Anyway, so here's what happened. America's all like, you know, who we really want to be on our side? France. Okay, get some terrorists over there. So I guess what's not clear here is did the terrorists live in France the whole time? And that they were just on like the ISIS.com internet boards? ISISjihad.com. And then they were all talking and they're like, well, I can't really make it out to Syria for the war. So here's why I'm reading this. Let's see. ISIS has not made an official claim of responsibility. However, minutes before Hollandaise's statements, Reuters reported that the terror group had posted an undated video urging French jihad... Where did they post it? ISIS tube? Undated video urging French jihadists who cannot travel to Syria to launch more attacks... Urging French jihadists who cannot travel to Syria... Is that where ISIS is centralized? To launch attacks on their home country. Indeed, you have been ordered to fight the infidel wherever you find him. What are you waiting for? There are weapons and cars available and targets ready to be hit. Oh, wait. If you work for ISIS, you get a company car? And a company weapon? I'm in. Even poison is available. So poison the water and food of at least one of the enemies of Allah. Of at least one? If you're going to poison the water, wouldn't you just like dump it in a pitcher at a restaurant? How do you even poison water? Can you taste the poison? Oh, this tastes like poison. Excuse me, waitress. My water tastes like poison. Can I send it back? No. What do you think this is? Man, we were at the restaurant the other day. Maybe I don't think we talked about this on the show because it wasn't that big of a deal. We were at the breakfast restaurant the other day. It's the cheapest breakfast restaurant, by the way. A whole breakfast is like $5. I mean, it gets more expensive if you want to add sides of sausage and stuff, but it's still not, like, crazy. It's like a normal meal price. Anyway, this table behind us, I hear this real fat guy. Not real fat. He's like nerd fat. He's like, I'm going to need my hash browns cooked really well. I want them really crispy. Or it's not hash browns. They're home fries, I guess. I think there might technically be a difference. When I think home fries, I think of the potatoes that's chopped into, like, cubes or triangular prisms. And when I think hash browns, I think of, like, tater tots or ground-up shredded potato. Anyway, he's like, I'm going to need these cooked real crispy, like, real crispy. If they're not crispy enough, I'm sending them back. Anytime you threaten to send something back before you even get it, you're the worst. And then at the end of the meal, if that wasn't bad enough, he asked the waitress to break 100. Yeah, don't ever do that. If you only have hundreds, you're dumb. I don't know. Carry something else. Oh, man, my cam is real not centered. Friday's attack was the deadliest terror atrocity to befall a Western European city since a series of train bombings in Madrid. In 2004. And this is way bigger than that other thing that happened, the London bombing, which was 7/7/2005, of course, as everyone's memorized. That was a big deal, and this is, like, way bigger. The bloodshed prompted Hollandaise to declare a state of emergency, order the deployment of 1,500 troops around Paris, and announce renewed border checks along frontiers that are normally open under Europe's free travel zone. Great. So, here's what happens. You get a problem, quality issue. That's how I see things now. Quality issue. We had a lot of people just shot. I think there might be a quality issue with the security. Or is there not or is it just like, you know, this is going to happen? Every time someone comes to me at work from now on and they go, Nick, why haven't you tightened up the procedures for this quality issue and this keeps happening? I'm like, well, I don't know. Why are there still shootings in Paris? Can't fix everything. And they're going to be like, oh, good point. And I'm going to be like, yeah, why did Adam Lanza kill a bunch of 19 elementary school kids? And like, oh, yeah. Guess the security issue's no bad, Nick. You're hired again. Three suicide bombs targeted locations out around the Stade de France. Now, I don't get it. Maybe if you're a suicide bomber, you can run in and, like, really focus your target. But I feel like if you're going to bomb, just get, like, a bunch of those same belts, right? But just throw them. Like, you could do, like, two or three. Not just one. I don't know. Maybe they're expensive. So maybe if you work for ISIS, you get a free suicide belt, but you only get one. And if you lose it, man, you got to pay for your second. Obama says this is an attack not just on Paris, Hilton, not just on France, but an attack on all of humanity and the values that we share. Well, that's the story of the France guys. For more information, head on over to CNN.com, and all you'll see is just a huge picture. ISIS claims responsibility. Oh. Well, this is new news then. ISIS claims responsibility for gunfire blast that killed 128. In an online statement distributed by supporters, the terror group said militants wearing explosive belts and armed with machine guns attacked precisely selected targets at the French capital.
We are now truly facing an unknown and historic situation in Paris.
That's, by the way, that's what French ambulances sound like. That sounded stupid. Let me skip ahead in this video.
Gunshots and lots of glass coming through the window.
When I looked back, I saw at least two men, unmasked men. Maybe there were three, and they were firing randomly.
You see people on the ground, wounded. What appears to be a lady there with her leg up in the air, trying to get some treatment.
So we were at... If you're injured, please raise your hand. As they say, if you have no legs, please raise your hand. If you have no arms, raise your legs, I guess. I don't know.
Inside the stadium, and approximately half an hour after the beginning of the game, we heard two big explosions.
Oh, nice. That's footage from the soccer game, and there's an explosion on it. Let's listen to that again.
Two big explosions.
France's president was inside the soccer stadium where explosions broke up the game.
This is a terrible hardship.
I think they still finished the game, right? I don't think they canceled the soccer game. Maybe I'm wrong.
It sounded like there would be more than one, and it also sounded as if they'd stopped to reload, and then they reloaded again, and then more gunshots fired the second time around.
Thankfully, I have seen about 100 to 150.
Okay, well, that's enough sadness. Don't go to Paris, I guess. Luckily, our security in America is so good, you could never get any bombs or attackers over here. Let's see. What do we have next? I was at the gym last night, and I saw this man from church, but I didn't know it was him. The only thing I saw was like, oh, that man walks like that other guy, that other huge fat I used to know, but that man's not nearly as fat as the man I used to know. And I'm like, oh, man, it's the fat guy from church, but I haven't seen him for like a year or more, and he's super skinny. Like, okay, congrats. And he's not skinny by any means of like a normal person, but he's skinny in terms of how he used to be, and I could barely even recognize him. Now, my theory is let's be honest, he's like 69, 70 probably, maybe a little under that. But the fat on his body really aged him throughout his middle age. But the point is, it's probably too late for him to, like, fix it. Even if he does get skinny, it's going to be, like, so flappy, like, all over his body. But here's the thing. He has a son, and his son, obviously, as the son of a fetzo, was not very skinny himself. So I'm saying, you know, if the dad can get in shape, the son still has a chance to turn it around. But it's still pretty impressive that the man that was so fat throughout my entire childhood is like, oh man, you're like doing good. The chat says, the greatest tragedy here is they never approached you to purchase the mass murder kit. No, mass murder kit? I don't think I had a mass murder kit. I think you're talking about the... I would never sell weapons. I think you're talking about the StreamYourShooting.com or whatever, which is a kit with a GoPro and the required necessities to properly record your own thingamajig. Okay. Severman says the parent can plant a seed in the kid's head. Oh yeah, I'll plant a seed in your kid's head. Whoa, gross. Don't cut that out. No, I actually saw his son at the gym at the same time. So I'm like, okay, cool. You're there too? I mean, neither of you are as fast as me. Nobody's as fast as me at the gym. If I see anyone with their treadmill set anywhere close to mine, I turn mine way up to be faster. And I hear that. So I'm in a Planet Fitness, right? Jogging. Every single time I'm there, I hear that lunk alarm go off, and I don't know why. I think just a guy like dropped a weight or something. It's not at me. It's going to be for me soon. The other day, I sweated so much. I went to the bathroom or the locker room, and I look in the mirror, and like my shirt's just see-through. My nipples are just showing because I've sweated through my white shirt all the way. Okay, 106 indicted in Texas biker shootout. And I don't know, guys, if you remember this. This is, let me try to pull some information up here. This was an attack that happened, not an attack. This was an incident that happened over the summer, and I never talked about it because it was one of those times where I was like, I didn't do a news show, and then something happened, and I barely even talked about it. On May 17th, 2015, in Waco, Texas, a shootout erupted at the Twin Peaks restaurant where members of several motorcycle clubs, including the Banditos, the Cossacks, and Allies, had gathered for a regularly scheduled meeting about political rights for motorcyclists. Waco police, including a SWAT team, had gathered to monitor them from outside. In 2014, the Texas Department of Public Safety had listed the Banditos as a Tier 2 threat, the same rating as Crips, Bloods, and the Aryan Brotherhood. What is the Aryan Brotherhood? Now, to be honest, I don't even know what Crips and Bloods are. All I know is that in video games, gangs just hang out on the street corner, and they all have bandanas, and they go, "Yo, why are you looking at me?" And then they get an Uzi out, and they shoot you. The Aryan Brotherhood, also known as The Brand, is a white supremacist prison gang. Oh my goodness, an organized crime syndicate in the United States with about 10,000 members. According to the FBI, the gang makes up less than 0.1% of the prison population. It is responsible for up to 30% of murders in the federal prison system. The Aryan Brotherhood has focused on the economic activities typical of organized crime entities, particularly drug trafficking, extortion, inmate prostitution, hot, and murder for hire. Okay. When I was a kid, I was like, if gangs are so dangerous, if you see someone and they're in a gang, just arrest them, right? But I guess you can't just arrest someone for being in a gang, right? I look at a bunch of bikers, I'd be like, they're obviously the worst people on earth, and I'm extremely scared. Please arrest every single one of them. And you can't, I guess, can't arrest just because you're on a bike or just because you're wearing a shirt or not wearing a shirt or wearing a leather. Okay. Let's see. The conflict began sometime after noon. According to Waco police, who had been monitoring motorcycle club activity, so again, they said they had parked across the street and they were watching with binoculars, and one guy didn't bring his binoculars, so they had to put a quarter in that little machine that's there that pays for like 2 minutes of looking out at the mountains, except he had to turn it around and look at the restaurant. What if they had that set up, like, 500 feet from the restaurant because no one wants to go near the bikers, but they're like, hey, just put a quarter in the binocular machine. You can watch the bikers if you want. Anyway, initial reports. I feel like I should have more up-to-date information than initial reports. Initial reports say that the official conflict began allegedly over a parking spot where someone had their foot run over. So someone's standing there, another guy rolls up on his bike and goes, hey, you're in the rival gang. I'm going to just, oops, I ran over your foot. And the fight escalated from there. At 12:24 p.m., gunfire erupted. Waco Police Sergeant Patrick Swanton declined to reveal details regarding how many of the dead and injured were shot by police. Oh my goodness, really? Though he added it was possible that some of the victims had been shot by officers, saying that they started shooting at our officers and our officers returned fire. In total, 9 bikers died and 18 others were injured. All of the fatalities, as well as the majority of those injured during the melee, suffered gunshot wounds. I mean, this was a pretty big deal. A bunch of people show up at a thing, and they just start, like, shooting for some reason at each other. 106 people indicted in Texas biker shootout. This is 2 days ago. A grand jury has returned indictments for engaging in organized criminal activity against 106 of the 177 bikers who were arrested following the deadly shootout inside a Waco, Texas restaurant. So here's what happened. Although all the deaths were due to gunfire, other weapons seized after the conflict included chains, brass knuckles, knives, clubs, and batons. Man. If you're a biker, you're the coolest person. Remember in Road Rash where you had to have all these weapons? And then hit people off their other bikes? That was the best game. Although every story differs slightly, there is one commonality among eyewitnesses of the shooting. Every eyewitness says that they first heard small arms fire, 2 or 3 shots, followed by a barrage of rifle fire. These accounts are independent of one another and come from those who were arrested and those who were not. Let's see. An element of the dispute had to do with the right of Texas Outlaw Bicyclist Club to wear jackets decorated with distinctive patches, including a geographic bottom rocker saying Texas. A bottom rocker? Man, this thing is rocking my bottom. what is a bottom rocker? I don't understand. I'm looking at pictures here. Is this just the thing you wear on the back of your... leather jacket? The dominant Bandidos claimed the right to approve all such jacket bottom rocker patches. A police affidavit released June 16 described the source of the conflict in similar terms. Following the shootout, police spokesman Patrick Swanton again. This Patrick Swanton is really up in our grill with these statements. Said a turf war between the rival clubs may have been a factor in the deadly encounter. It allegedly started following the beating of a Cossack by Bandido at a Toys for Tots event. Wait a minute, what? On December 6, 2014, that's several months before. So apparently there have been a rivalry ever since that Toys for Tots event. The conflict may stem from Cossacks members refusing to pay Bandidos dues for operating in Texas and claiming Texas as their territory by wearing the Texas bottom rocker. Man, what is going on down there? Is this happening all over the place? That there's one motorcycle gang that's like, okay, Texas is yours. Sorry, we won't ride our motorcycles here or else we'll get beat up at Toys for Tots. I don't get it. I'm scared. I was always thinking like, yeah, I mean, they look all like, they're big beards and stuff. They feel like, they look like they're about to beat me, but they're probably fine, right? No, they're not. They're like the worst people. So anyway, all the shootings happen. Boom, boom, boom. Shootings, people dead all over. The cops shoot too. The cops like, oh, a shooting. I want to be in. I'm in too. And the guy on the, quarter binoculars is like, wait for me. Anyway, so a bunch of people get shot, a bunch of people get injured, and then they basically just arrest everyone. If you were in the restaurant and you looked like a biker, they arrested you. Let's watch the video.
Videos that I've seen clear up the narrative quite a bit. It's obvious that eight bikers arrived that were, some of them were the Bandidos. They arrived and then they were immediately circled by probably around 50 of the other clubs that don't necessarily come to COZ meetings. That tells you something right away.
Well, this is one of the worst videos I've ever seen. They cut. Oh my goodness, that guy's covered in blood. They cut to a guy talking, and then they just cut to silence, and they're showing me now just security footage from inside the restaurant, which they have. Basically, here's the security footage. So, we've got a bunch of guys. They're all in leather jackets. They say Cossacks on them.
This was the scene inside the Twin Peaks restaurant in May, just before the violent shootout that killed 9 people and ended up in the mass arrests of 177 bikers. A fight and shootout erupts just off camera.
this guy with a cigarette. Yeah, I'm doing the thing that Andrew said, where I play a second and then I go, okay, look at this part, guys. Okay, so everyone's just sitting around the bar. Just imagine the worst, loudest biker bar you can imagine. It's just full of leather. You walk in, it just smells like cow. That's what leather smells like, right? Cow. Anyway. And they're all just hanging out, getting drinks, and then all of a sudden everyone looks outside, right? Something's happened outside.
It killed 9 people and ended up in the mass arrests of 177 bikers. A fight and...
And then now they cut to another shot, and the inside is basically almost entirely cleared out, except that there's one guy just standing in the middle of the entire room, and he's trying to light a cigarette while watching the shooting happen.
And shootout erupts just off...
What the...
...off camera... between a group of motorcycle clubs called the Bandidos and the Cossack.
Oh, now there's a fat guy, and he's got his gun pulled. He's got both hands on his little pistol. Gun, I mean. And he's half crouched, and he's in the restaurant, and he's pointing it out the window. He's ready to shoot.
The reaction tells the story of the chaos and horrific scene that unfolds.
And there's other guys just crawling around. I feel like if you're crawling around trying to get away, you're probably not... You probably shouldn't get arrested, right? I don't know. If you weren't arrested early. I mean, you should get arrested for sure, but not... You should have been arrested when you got there. They should have been... Oh, are you in the Cossacks? Okay, you're under arrest. Yeah, stop being a mean.
As the gunshots start exploding. Members of the Cossacks Club are sitting on this patio. They duck for cover. Some grab firearms and other weapons. One biker is seen on the surveillance video running through the patio and firing a shot toward the parking lot. Dozens of bikers rush inside the building, hide in bathrooms and the restaurant kitchen. John Wilson is the president of the Waco, Texas area chapter of the Cossacks Motorcycle Club. He was on the Twin Peaks patio that day.
The whole incident probably didn't last more than 90 seconds.
And this is a guy in the lobby. He's running through. His face and hands are covered in blood. From what? Who knows? Or, you know, maybe there's not blood. Maybe one of those bullets caught a ketchup packet.
It seemed like an hour when you're laying there and people are getting shot around you and bullets are whizzing by you.
In dozens of police interviews, Cossack and Bandito.
That was the hottest thing I've ever seen. This waitress.
Out around.
She's dressed like a waitress and she's sprinting to get away from the shooting.
In dozens of police interviews, Cossack and Bandito Bike Club members blame their rivals for starting the deadly melee. After it was all over, crime scene photos capture the nightmarish scene. Bodies left in the parking lot by toppled motorcycles, hundreds of weapons all over the place, handguns even left hidden in the restaurant toilets.
That's not hidden, by the way. There's a picture of this. There's a picture of a gun, and it's covered in pee and toilet paper. And that's, they're like, I've got to stash this weapon. Where can I stash it? Okay, I'll shove it in here. But then he had to pee, so he's like, wow, I gotta. I can't believe that. Is this the show picture? I can't believe this picture.
CNN has obtained more than 2,000 pages of documents, crime scene photos, many too graphic to show, and surveillance video giving us the most detailed accounts of what unfolded last May. Waco police and prosecutors have consistently defended the mass arrests of the 177 bikers that day, all charged with organized criminal activity.
So here's the weirdest part of the story. To me, okay, a bunch of people shot each other. Big whoop. The weirdest part of the story is that now they're like I said, everyone's under arrest. If you were here, you're under arrest. And here's some security footage.
Prosecutors have consistently defended the mass arrest.
They're just walking everyone out of the restaurant. They're in single file lines. They're all hands up walking out of the restaurant. Now, if there's a story here, I mean, there is a story here. But if there's a side story here that's being glossed over because of how many people got shot and how dramatic that is, it is the story of the fact that everyone was just arrested willy-nilly.
...of the 177 bikers that day, all charged with organized criminal activity.
I think you can see by the number of weapons that we have recovered from here today, they did...
Nope, that is an emotional argument. I think you can see by the weapons here that clearly we're on the right.
They didn't come here to eat and have a good time with their family. They came here for a reason. We think part of that reason was a criminal activity.
If they ever arrested Puke, they would be like, I think you can see by all of the weapons on this man that he did not go to Target to pick up a candle. He went to Target to target it.
But many of the bikers and their attorneys say investigators and prosecutors overreacted by carrying out mass arrests. Some say these videos show the vast majority are innocent of the criminal charges.
They just did a roundup and arrested everybody before they determined who was involved.
These are just some of the videos investigators are using to piece together what happened that day 5 months ago. A shootout that one witness said looked like the gunfight at the OK Corral.
Someone tell me what the OK Corral is, please. Is that like a movie? I don't know. In a 9-hour session, a grand jury acted on all 106 cases that had been asked to consider related to the shootout between blah, blah, blah. The grand jury will consider charges against the other 71 bikers arrested on identical charges. Okay, so just because 106 out of 177 have been indicted does not mean that that the others are not getting indicted. There just wasn't time to do it yet. We are not done. We still have a lot of work to do. We will continue to do that. My office is dedicated, as is the team, to seeing that justice is done in all of those cases. I don't know enough information to know what they're being charged with, but...
...identifying individual problems. They did not state any facts.
Okay, here's the lawyer. Now, I'm not sure why every single biker has the same lawyer, but okay. Maybe they got a group discount. Man, can you imagine defending 100 people in court? That'd be like $5 billion probably worth of legal fees. And they'd be like, I can't pay. All I can pay you is in these unregistered weapons. And he would say, okay, good enough.
They did not have any individual probable cause. They did not state any facts specifying individual probable cause. So what the police did, I think, was a huge violation of those biker civil rights. After the first shots were fired, the majority of the people ran. There were some people that stayed and pulled out weapons and participated in the fight with weapons, and other people did not have weapons.
Good point. Now, what are you going to do? You can't just say everyone's under arrest. Oh, look at that old lady. I just saw, like, a lady and a dad hanging out at the restaurant. She was in a normal clothes on that security footage. I bet they didn't arrest her. They just arrested everyone who either was in leather or had ketchup on their face. Excuse me. Your kid, he's 2. He looks like he's got ketchup on his face. That means he was involved in the shooting. I'm going to be taking him in for diaper questioning. I bet you the kid was the one. I bet you the 2-year-old, that was the kid that shoved the gun in the toilet and then peed on it. Like, who else would do that? All right, keep your eyes out for news on the Texas Bikers. Wow, we have been doing a long show and we have barely covered anything. Should we skip to the lightning round? Nope, we're not going to skip to the lightning round just yet.
Taken from behind shortly before she was due to travel. We've been talking, we've heard from various family members as they've arrived here to begin this difficult process of identification. And
a Russian passenger jet broke into pieces mid-air, a top aviation official said Sunday. But he said it would be too soon to say what could have caused the crash in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. It's not too soon now.
The pain is palpable. Want to show you?
ISIS's affiliate in Egypt says it brought down Metrojet flight 9268, and U.S. officials are more confident that terrorists bombed the Russian plane, killing all 224 people aboard. So there was this plane; it was going from Russia to somewhere else, and it got bombed. Right? But the question is, if terrorists did plant a bomb, how did they do it, and what could prevent that from happening again? Here's the latest on what we know about the disaster. Several senior U.S. intelligence, military, and national security officials have told CNN about the growing confidence that terrorists bombed the plane. One official said, "We're 99% certain." 99% certain. Another said it was likely. Okay. One official said 99% certain. Another said it was likely. Maybe you guys should get on the same page about that. Not a bus in the chat says the lightning round is for Brett, asking you what your internet critics are. Oh, internal critics. I can't read. Not internet critics. The plane was headed from the Egyptian resort city, blah, 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 of Sharm el-Sheikh to St. Petersburg, Russia on October 31st. Halloween. Spooky. But not long after takeoff, it disintegrated midair and crashed into the peninsula. British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond told CNN on Monday that his government still believes it's more likely than not that an explosive device caused the plane crash. Obviously, we don't know absolutely for certain until the final analysis of the wreckage has taken place. That could take some time. Okay. So, apparently a bomb went off on a plane, it crashed, and then we're like, well, we don't know why there was a bomb. We don't know how it got there. The black box recording doesn't have very much information on it. All I've heard is that on the black box recording, you just hear a noise and then it goes silent. And, please fly our plane still. It's fine, probably, right? I mean, it only happened once recently. Russian experts may receive the first forensic analysis data potentially revealing traces of explosive substances on the wreckage as early as Thursday, which was this week. I don't think we have any new stuff. Let me look this up.
I'm just going to look up bombed plane.
Nope. All it says is that ISIS chatter supports the bomb theory. Egypt launches inquiry into bomb claims. I don't know. So apparently, probably the plane got bombed, but we don't know. That's the news. It could be anything. So. That is that. All right, let's move on to the lightning round now, which is the round where we just go through a bunch of stories, and we don't play videos, or maybe we do play videos. We basically do whatever I say. Oops. There may be a video playing, so let me make sure that that doesn't happen before we launch into the thing. Google's self-driving car pulled over for going too slow. One of Google's self-driving vehicles was pulled over. The question was, but who gets the ticket? That question was asked across the internet on Thursday after a police officer stopped one of the gumball machine-shaped vehicles around noon. Man, I really should have found a better source for this. The vehicle was traveling 24 in a 35-mile-per-hour zone. As the officer approached the slow-moving vehicle, he realized it was a Google autonomous vehicle. The officer stopped the car and made contact with the operators to learn more about how the car was choosing speeds along certain roadways and to educate the operators about impeding traffic. The vehicle did not stop itself, okay? So, if you're a Google self-driving car, you don't know if you're being pulled over, apparently. Although, how is that possible? Like, if you're a self-driving car, wouldn't you need to know if there's an emergency vehicle coming up behind you so that you can get out of the way? That's part of driving. Huh. The vehicle did not stop itself. A passenger took control and pulled over for the officer. The Google self-driving car project appeared to appreciate the humor of the situation. They're driving too slowly, it says, but humans don't get pulled over for that too often. We've capped the speed of our prototype vehicles at 25 miles an hour for safety reasons, the post explained. We want them to feel friendly and approachable rather than zooming scarily through neighborhood streets. What? As it turns out, the cars are considered neighborhood electric vehicles under the California Vehicle Code and can be operated on roadways with speed limits at or under 35 miles per hour. It was lawful for the car to be traveling on the street, so no ticket was issued. Like this officer, people sometimes flag us down when they want to know more about our project. Oh, now they're spinning it. They're saying, oh, the officer just pulled us over so that he could get more information on our vehicle. The chat says, your voice is more pleasant than videos. Oh, right, thanks. So wait. They've capped the prototype at 35 miles per hour. I thought that these cars had done like 1.2 million miles across the country. Does that mean they've only done it on small streets? Or is this a different model car than the car they have for the highway? This is their like mini car that just goes on the small streets. I'm going to Google this.
Well, we got to figure out this about emergency vehicles. Does the Google car know if an ambulance is behind it?
Does the Google car know if an ambulance is behind it? How do self-driving cars know to pull over when an ambulance approaches? In other words, how does the car assess whether the ambulance is approaching from in front or behind, whether to pull off to the left or right, blah, blah, blah. No car is out in consumer use on the road, and so cars do not have this as a function. Oh, no. That's bad. So, apparently, the Google car does not know if there's an ambulance coming. Oh, here's another question on Quora.com. By the way, what is Quora.com? The best answer to any question? Do you know what Quora.com is? Oh. Okay. It makes perfect sense. Okay, so Quora, maybe this is like the Yahoo Answers that starts with Q? I don't know. Should I pull over when an ambulance is coming in the other lane? It says, is the question. And the answer, yes, you should. I disagree with this answer. Our goal is to bypass traffic as quickly as possible to potentially save a life. The challenge is that driving to an emergency through heavy traffic with lights and sirens can be dangerous. Stopping completely eliminates the danger. If everyone on the road stops, we can zoom by safely and efficiently. If some cars keep moving, even slowly, it can slow us down. I don't think so. Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Sorry, that was not a very good lightning round. Next thing on the lightning round. New York prison escapee Sweat pleads guilty. A convicted murderer who led police on a massive three-week manhunt. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was very exciting. It was the two guys that broke out of jail after promising they'd have, like, they'd run off with this lady. And she gave them power tools or something to drill out of jail. And then they ran along, and this guy eventually ran ahead of the other guy because the other guy was too fat and weak. And he's like, "You're slowing me down." David Sweat has pleaded guilty. But what has he pleaded guilty to? To three felonies related to his escape. He was surrounded by corrections officers as he entered the Clinton County Court in Plattsburgh, New York, where he calmly admitted to his role in the headline-grabbing plot and entered his guilty pleas. Pleaded guilty to two counts of first-degree escape and one count of first-degree promoting prison contraband, all of which stemmed from his June breakout. He'll be sentenced at February 3rd. He's already serving a life sentence, though, so he doesn't really care. And he'll probably just break out again. Nine people have been confirmed dead after the plane they were flying crashed into homes. The company that rented the small jet, which was a Florida-based real estate company, Peb Enterprises, confirmed seven of the fatalities this morning, all of whom were their employees. Man, that would suck if you had a business and you're like, oh, I guess half the people don't work here anymore. The NTSB has started its investigation into the crash and recovered the cockpit recorder from the plane. The NTSB vice chairman, Bella DeCesar, said that investigators have determined that the plane was flying at a low altitude and was banking to the left before the crash. The left wing hit the ground first and clipped power lines on the way down. Weird. So, plane crashes. Man arrested 30 times for bus and train theft said, "I just want to work on the subway." Darius McCollum has a peculiar hobby, impersonating New York transit staff, stealing buses and trains, and then driving them away. One police spokesman said of him in 2010, he has a thing for mass transit. Once, he stole a bus at Penn Station and drove it full of passengers to New York's Kennedy Airport. Another time, he responded to an emergency stop call on the subway at 57th Street in Manhattan, clearing passengers safely and correctly and clearing passengers safely and correctly and diagnosing the problem in full uniform before being caught by the train driver who had seen his face on a wanted poster. Wanted! A guy who's trying to help out on the subway. He has spent a third of his life in jail for this hobby. On Wednesday, he was arrested for the 30th time in 35 years and just 79 days after his previous parole ended in Brooklyn at the corner of Union Street and 3rd Avenue, driving a Trailways bus stolen from New Jersey. This is sad. McCollum grew up in Jamaica, Queens, near the terminus of the F train. F. In blah, blah, blah. He would spend hundreds of hours watching the trains come and go, according to a 2002 profile. By the time he was 8, he had memorized the entire subway network. When he was 11, he was stabbed with a pair of scissors. Okay. What does that have to do with anything? Puncturing his lung soon after the stabbing, he was skipping school to ride the subway network, sometimes for days on end, surfacing only for food to disappear back into the subways again. His parents tried to stop him by locking him in his room at night and even tried having him escorted to school in the mornings. It didn't work. They changed his school. Okay, so the man wants to work for the subway, wants to drive a bus, won't go to school, memorized the entire subway network, fixed a train, and then they're like, nope. At this point, you're like, he has a criminal record, kind of, right? So they're like, well, he can't work for us. Or he can, probably, because it's the government. So he probably just has a whole closet of just uniforms, like bus driver uniforms, subway uniforms. Like, well, gonna go to work again.
So is he insane, or is he just, like, as really, really wants to work on the subway? Maybe someone just needs to get him, Subway Simulator. He has been diagnosed with Asperger's Syndrome, as well as depression and anxiety. Well, that's weird. So, I don't know. He really wants to work on the subway, and he knows how to, and they're like, okay, go to jail, I guess. We have enough workers that are doing nothing. We don't need you getting in here and making people look lazy, right? All right, let's see. Got to load another story here. When John...
America...
John David Ledoux cradled the homemade bomb in a tree not far from school. It was summer 2013, and classes were out. The perfect time to test his explosive. He lit the fuse. Nothing. The teen had used hot glue for his sealing agent. He switched to auto body filler. Next time, the bomb exploded. And the next time after that. The rush grew addicting. Over the span of 9 months, he exploded more than a dozen homemade bombs around his small town in southern Minnesota. At the church, a skate park, a shooting range. The 11th grader was practicing for his master plan to carry out one of the worst school massacres in U.S. history. I had fun entertaining the thought of actually, like, injuring and maiming people, he told police, and, like, showing people that I am dominant over them. His explosives are known as crickets. Made from blah, 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 blah. He had done his homework. So here's the problem. This man, all he wants to do is just work for a bomb maker and explode bombs, and they want to arrest him. He purchased a black duster jacket so he could dress like Eric Harris. I kind of want to pay tribute to him, he would later tell police. He hoped to time his attack on the Columbine anniversary to honor his idol of Eric Harris. Oh, dear. That's not good. He studied the Boston Marathon bombers. He thought their attack was weak because they just killed three. He planned to fill two pressure cookers with 6,000 ball bearings, as well as buckshot and screws. Each bomb would have a can. What if you went to Home Depot with a pressure cooker, right? And then you were just walking down the aisles, just grabbing, like, their bins of screws and just being, that's good. That's good. There's nothing illegal about putting screws in a pressure cooker and walking down the Home Depot aisle. What are they going to do? Charge you with putting screws in a pressure cooker? I don't think so. He believed Adam Lanza was a coward for killing first graders. He named five students at his high school who he wanted to kill for a specific reason. Get to the point! Oh, by the way, we're not in the lightning round anymore. That was only the four stories of the lightning round. He had a meticulous plan, and he told authorities he chose a bolt-action Soviet-style SKS rifle to use the attack, a weapon without a large magazine like Lanza's AR-7 or other semi-automatic rifles used in shooting sprees. That way, he said, people lobbying for gun restrictions after his attack would have a weaker argument. I kind of wanted to prove that wrong, he said. Wow! A real shooter that has his finger on the pulse of the national media. Like, yeah, I'm going to use a gun that they haven't banned yet and haven't even argued to ban just to prove I can. I don't want to play easy mode like Adam Lanza. According to his plan, pressure cooker bombs were to be hidden in recycling bins in the hallways. Wouldn't the recycling bin, like, block the screws, though? It was like, whoa, that was a big explosion. Thank God it was inside of a recycling bin. Man, some hero threw this bomb in the recycling bin before it blew up so we didn't get hurt. He planned to detonate them remotely. He'd use his SKS rifle and a sawed-off shotgun to mop up the rest before getting killed in a shootout, he said. Okay. But his plot was thwarted on April 29, 2014, when a 911 caller reported seeing someone she suspected was breaking into a storage locker. Let's see what this video has to say about this.
Got a knock on the door. We were told, you need to leave your home right away. Your son has been involved in a plot to kill you, kill your husband and his sister, and blow up the school, basically.
Wow. If that happens, are you like, I'm not really shocked. He's been a little reclusive lately. I was wondering if he was planning a shooting in his room. Get to the point.
I was told that there are bombs in our house and we need to leave immediately for our own safety.
Today's date is April 29th, 2014. I'm Officer Schrader with the Wasco Police Department. And I'm here with John Ledoux.
Yes.
I was scared, mostly scared for my son.
Sometime before the end of the school year, my plan was to steal a recycling bin from the school and take one of the pressure cookers I made and put in the hallway and blow it up during passing period of time.
This is where I was doing dishes, and this is the window that I seen the boy walking.
So this is now an interview with the lady that saw him trying to break into the storage locker. They always get sloppy. If you're going to be doing a bombing, don't do other things that are illegal before the bombing. This is not bombing advice. I'm not a bomb lawyer. Oh, God. So this is a video on CNN that's been produced, right? It's not just a news account. And so they have text over video, right?
Created many other similar devices to those and set them off over various periods of time in town.
They want to talk about this as though this was a Columbine that was stopped.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have a sister. She's 1 year older than me.
So you would have done this stuff while she was at school as well?
I forgot to mention a detail. Before that day, I was planning to dispose of my family too.
I've always thought my son loved me. I've always believed he did.
Man, I wouldn't admit that part. Like, I was going to kill the whole family too, because they're the only ones that's left to fill your commissary.
Come to me one day, face to face, and end my life. I personally don't believe it would ever happen.
A Minnesota judge said that the state failed to show that Ledoux had made... Oh, wait a minute. This is a twist in the story. Hang on. I gotta pull this up again in the video. A Minnesota judge said that the state failed to show that Ledoux had made a substantial step toward committing the crimes. Wait. The attempted murder and property damage charges were dismissed?
Why would you dispose of your family? What have they done?
They did nothing wrong. I just want as many victims as possible.
John had a journal.
I gotta scroll down then and figure out what's happened. I'm real sorry about this. The case falls apart. The prosecution lost the first battle when a judge threw out the charges of attempted criminal damage to property, and the toughest charges were attempted murder. There was no proof, he ruled, that Ledoux would act on his plans to carry out a bloodbath, a decision upheld by the state appeals court. Wow! So you can keep a whole diary of the people you're going to kill and set off a bunch of bombs, and you're okay. The law in Minnesota does not prohibit his conduct. We cannot invite speculation as to whether the acts would have been carried out. Suddenly, it seemed the boy who dreamed of becoming infamous like the Columbine shooters was instead a mere footnote, an asterisk to a foiled plot. He turned 18 behind bars while lawyers, judges, and psychologists tried to figure out what to do. The prosecutor wanted to try him as an adult on the 6 remaining counts of illegal possession of an explosive device. On June 30th of this year, a hearing was held on the matter. 3 psychologists testified. One had met Ledoux at a blah, 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 blah. So what happened? Ledoux did not testify during the hearing, and he declined through his attorney and his parents to speak with CNN, but his family shared hundreds of pages of journal entries he'd made. In June 27th, he wrote about his arrest, the choices I've made that got me in the justice system were based off of selfish and lazy choices. They were also the result of lack of concern of what may go wrong. I have made a decision to act responsibly and stop engaging in illegal behavior. I'm finished with an irresponsible lifestyle. I'm ready to make my plan of action. His hope to become a mathematician. On this September day, 17 months since his arrest, he pleads guilty to a single felony count of illegal possession of explosive, closing the books on a criminal case. So he's getting charged with one thing. By accepting a plea, he will avoid prison time and receive up to 10 years of court-ordered treatment for autism. Court-ordered treatment for autism? If his treatment is successful, he will move into a halfway house or transitional treatment facility before being reintroduced to society. So, he's free, basically. I mean, he's autistic, which, if you look at it, is a gift. I mean, I love my autistic child, and you should, too, love my autistic child, because he loves you and wants to hug you. Okay. So, the guy who was going to do a huge plot is free. You guys should read up on his journal, probably. All right, we've been doing this for about an hour and 5 minutes. I think we should be about time to check out. Let's see what else has gone on. You guys probably have heard of this. Louisiana District Attorney has recused himself from prosecuting the case of two police officers who allegedly killed a 6-year-old boy while pursuing his father's car. Marshals Norris Greenhouse and Derek Stafford have been arrested and charged with second-degree murder and attempted second-degree murder. So this was nearly a week has passed since the incident occurred, which the incident was, apparently, on the evening of November 3rd, marshals began pursuing the father, Chris Few, after they witnessed an argument between Few and his girlfriend in front of a local bar. So allegedly they're fighting in a bar. He drives off. The source said that the marshals allegedly witnessed domestic abuse and moved in to detain him, who instead drove away. The police pursuit ended in a hail of gunfire that left Few critically wounded and his young son doomed. But still unknown, why did they fire on the car? The first grader was buckled into the passenger seat of the father's truck when he was shot 5 times in the head and chest. At least 18 rounds are fired at the father and son from 2 firearms. The boy's father was also struck, and the shooting happened on a dead-end street. Blah, blah, blah. Investigators said there were no outstanding warrants against the father. No firearm was found in the vehicle. Greenhouse knew Few before the deadly encounter. So, one of the marshals knew the guy, right? A source familiar with the investigation told CNN. Investigators are looking into the extent of their relationship. Ooh, boy. This could be bad. This could turn out to be like, yeah, he owed me $500, so I hunted him down, and I shot his kids. At least one of the two officers has been accused of a crime before. Oh, shocker! Stafford, in 2011, was indicted on 2 counts of aggravated rape. But both cases were dismissed in 2012. But wait, and two counts of aggravated rape. That's what I said, and then both were dismissed in 2012. Okay, well, guess you're free if you're a cop. The chat says if it was a gay killer, he would get court-ordered treatment for homosexuality. I don't know. Good point. I guess, like, if you have a disorder, like being autistic or being gay, then is the court just saying, well, you're autistic, so your punishment is court-ordered autism treatment. Your punishment is court-ordered, I don't know, Parkinson's treatment or anxiety treatment. Why would that be any part of, like, the crime you committed? Very weird. Ken Jennings' big brain may not get him out of this one. The Jeopardy legend tweeted a joke about the Star Wars fan recently, and many people have found it disgusting. So speaking of Star Wars, the new one's coming out. We talked about that Darth Jar Jar
last episode, which is still very exciting, but maybe not true. I don't know. I watched the movie, and it's like, maybe Darth Jar Jar is not real. Then again, you could say, well, even if he is Darth Jar Jar, right, the writer still wanted him to be funny in the first episode. So there's some points where he, like, is it a goofball? Where there's no reason for him to have been, because nobody's watching to like, trick, quote-unquote trick. But on the other hand, if you're like, well, we're going to introduce this character, and he's going to be funny in the first episode, but he's going to end up being very, very evil in the next one. It's like, okay, he's still funny. I don't know. I think it's probably fake, actually. The point is, the new version of Star Wars is coming out, right? Episode 7. And what happened was, there was this guy, and he was like, I'm sick. I'm not going to live to see it. And Disney said, okay, we'll come over and bring you a DVD. So Disney shows up. They've got their DVD player. They come to his house, and they unplug his DVD player, and they plug theirs in so he can watch it on their TV. He can watch it on his TV, but they're not going to let him play the DVD in his thing, because what if he installed a secret recorder, right? So they bring over their players. They watch it with him. There's men with guns all around, like, and lightsabers, just making sure that nobody is able to watch the movie. Turns out he was right. He did not make it. So a couple days after he saw the Star Wars movie, he was like, oh, that was terrible. And now he's dead, right? And Ken Jennings. So this is the guy that went on Jeopardy and won, like, the most ever episodes in a row, or something real close to it, if not the most. It's like 75 episodes in a row of Jeopardy he won. It was real cool. He tweets out, it can't be a good sign that every fan who has seen the new Star Wars movie died shortly thereafter. Ah! So funny. He's a public person. And unfortunately, he has, like, no, he's not all PS, PR, public PC. He's not all PC like someone in a public personality would want. Someone writes to him in all caps. This is what happens when you give people with zero social skills money. They think it gives them a witty personality. Someone says to Ken Jennings, that's the most obvious joke. If you're okay with his widow reading it, that's your judgment. I don't know. Is it the most obvious joke? I didn't think of that. Maybe. I guess it is. Nah, the movie's so bad he died. So funny. Yeah, maybe it is a stupid joke. But it's funny that someone who's so popular and, like, well-known would say it, and then basically it's not really being covered in the news. They're like, just don't pay attention to him. Don't pay attention to him. All right. Superman says the reward for defeating Darth Jar Jar in the video game would be that he stops talking. Do you really hate Jar Jar? Like I said in the last episode, this character, I feel like everyone hated him because they were told to hate him, right? The media was like, he's a black hater, and he's making fun of being black, and also he's real annoying, and he goes, Misa, 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 all the time. And that's real annoying. But I don't know, it wasn't that bad to me. He's just another character. There's other characters that are way worse. What about that guy that goes and all his spit goes everywhere, right? He's like, we'll be friends. Right? I don't know. All right, guys, this has been News with Nick, episode for November 14th, 2015. I need to get ready because in 1 hour, I will be picking up the puke, right? I'll be picking up the puke. We will be picking up a U-Haul van. We may be trying to get a ladder. We'll be doing trash. We'll be loading the U-Haul van with shelves from his house. We'll be driving them to Andrew's house, unloading them there, driving the van back here, then doing a show tonight. So, listen on the Facebook and on the Twitter for a show Saturday night coming out. Maybe we'll be starting in 12-ish hours. Maybe 11 if we're lucky. I agree with you on that. Totally, we hate him just because we're supposed to. Okay, that's cool. So Severman admits that he doesn't really hate Jar Jar. He just was told to, so he believes the media and what he's supposed to hate. I got to get our closing bumper, which is going to be the same as our opening bumper. Actually, you know what? I don't have a closing bumper. So maybe I'll have to Google one before we can end the show. Nope, can't find one. Oh, here's something. Oh, well, we'll just play that to end the show. You guys love how I'm doing production. I'm doing post-production and editing while on the still show. Thanks for coming out for the News with Nick episode. I'm out of news for now. I could obviously talk forever, but we will pick up the stories and the funsies and thingies from the studio later today. Okay? Bye!